epistle for this third Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from that of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits. To no man render evil for evil, but provide good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as far as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if thy enemy is hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing so, thou wilt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Please stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came up and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And stretching forth his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I will, be thou made clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, "See thou tell no one, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a witness to them." Now when he had entered Capernaum, there came to him a centurion who entreated him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying sick in the house, paralyzed, and is grievously afflicted." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and cure him." But in answer the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, and have soldiers subject to me. I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. To another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and said to those who were following him, "Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. And I tell you that many will come from the east and the west, and will feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be put forth into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee." And the servant was healed in that hour. Thus far are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord, marveling at the faith of the centurion, says to us, "Many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." By this, our Lord tells us that there are many born outside of the faith who will find fidelity. And there are many who are born in the faith who will perish. These are sobering words for those of us who consider ourselves to have the faith. For it is not sufficient simply to have the faith. We must live the faith. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those who are in hell are not there by accident, but they cast themselves there and are filled with remorse and bitterness. Following the thought of St. Alphonsus, I would like to contemplate with you today on a threefold remorse or sorrow of those who are in hell. In the first place, those who are in hell recognize the little that in reality they were required to do to attain salvation. We are required to love God above all things and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to live searching after the will of God, to live in charity. And this seems like it's impossible, and indeed for us lowly fallen human beings on our own strength and accord, it is. But for God it is not. It seems impossible until we remember that God does not ask us to be perfect of ourselves, but only that we try. And once we make the first attempt, God steps in with his grace to perfect us. God even foresees our failure. For he leaves us the sacrament of confession. All we have to do is humble ourselves in repentance. And God not only forgives, but forgets our debt. The soul in hell realizes this and is forever tormented by this thought. He's tormented at the thought of all the wasted graces, all the squandered helps and mercies of God. Such divine help ignored and to little benefit. Second, those who are in hell realize the insignificance of the trifles for which they lost their souls. How many a soul has been lost to perdition due to the pleasures of this world? The soul in hell, now in eternity, realizes the passing nature of such allurements. They have traded their souls for what could never satisfy them. They're like men thirsty, trying to drink from a cup riddled with holes, never to be satisfied. For momentary pleasure, they have entered unto eternal suffering. The soul in hell realizes, had I not given into such a fleeting pleasure that one time, had I not stolen that one thing, had I not given into human respect and received God unworthily, or hidden that one sin in confession, or failed to speak up for the faith that one time, if I had stayed away from that one occasion of sin, or avoided the company of that one person who enticed me to sin, if I would not be here, but there. But I did not. The third and perhaps greatest remorse of the damned soul is the knowledge they have of the greatness of the good which they have lost by their own squandering. The kingdom of heaven surpasses all understanding. In it we find the perfection and elevation of our nature. We see God face to face and see all things in the Word. We know this now, though we don't understand it perfectly. We see as through a dark glass. We still have faith that guides us in our way, hope that motivates us, and charity that draws us to this truth. The soul in hell knows this, though they don't experience it. The soul in hell is tormented by this truth, and that they squandered their inheritance for such trivial things as just mentioned. And most analogies tend to limp a little bit, but I will endeavor nonetheless to make one, so bear with me. But imagine that you have a rich grandmother who you love dearly and who loves you very much. And as a parting inheritance, she entrusts you with a small box, very unassuming, in fact, almost trashy looking, and told you that therein was a great treasure inside. But you would not open it to find it until you had reached a certain level of maturity. You'd lived life a little bit, perhaps even suffered a bit. However, as time goes by, you lose feeling for the word of your grandmother. You begin to follow more worldly loves, perhaps develop some habits. One day someone comes along and sees your box. They want this box, or rather, though you don't know it, they don't want you to have it. And they offer you a chance at indulging some or another of your passing fancies, and you begin to weigh the options. You decide that perhaps there's nothing in this box after all. Perhaps, just maybe, your grandmother was a foolish woman, and this was a trick to teach you some lesson in your youth. But now you have a chance at something real, something worthwhile. So you trade away the box, only later to find out that the box actually held an account number and a PIN for an account set up by your grandmother for you, containing a fortune beyond belief to care for you in those moments when you'd need it the most. The soul in hell knows the treasure it has squandered. It knows that it threw it away, and that it easily could have been in possession of it. And for this, it suffers greatly. But, my dear friends, that is the soul in hell, already damned. We who still live have a chance. Learn from the mistakes of the damned. Realize the great treasure that awaits you. See the world for what it is, a trifle not worth your attention, let alone your soul. Don't squander the great gifts that God has bestowed. May God bless you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.